good morning, everybody. I don't want to interrupt the fellowship, so continue on if you need to speak to a few more people. It's great to be in God's house today and be able to worship Him. And that's the title of the sermon we've been on for the last week. And we're going to finish it up today. It's entitled, Are You in Need of a Worship Experience? If you have your Bibles, yes, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. She covered it all in one sentence. Praise God. But it's good to be here today. We want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the second and third point I wanted to get across to you. I mentioned last week that there's three things that are going to happen when the glory of God comes into your life and when you really have a worship experience. The first thing we mentioned was that God is going to come in and will be able to have a conversation with you. You don't have to have some special context to bring to Him. He's just there to communicate with you. And we're going to talk about the second and third points today. But remember last week I told you about how sometimes God has to come through and shake our temple up, right? He's got to shake some things out of our temple and get rid of them so that we can have a worship experience with Him. How many of you glad God shook you up a little bit in your lifetime? Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad He shook me up. I know that because there were some things I had in my temple that needed to get shook loose. Now, I don't want Him to shake too much now because I may really come apart now at my age. Amen? But He's still doing some moving and shaking. Praise God, He's still a mover and shaker. Amen?
Amen.
He's still one that can move mountains in our lives. There's nothing impossible, for all things are possible if you believe and trust in God. Amen?
Amen.
He can give you the strength to overcome anything in your life. We're talking about, just to recap, here's Isaiah. He's faced with a critical time in his life. King Uzziah, who was one of the greatest, most godly kings of the land of Judah at that point in time, had just died. He had leprosy and he was sent out into exile and he died. And instead of Isaiah just getting all upset and bent out of shape and thinking, oh Lord, it's over with now, he said in the word that he saw the Lord. Through the midst of all the sadness and all the disappointment, he saw God. He had a worship experience with God right there on the coattails and on the heels of the death of one of the greatest kings that had ever ruled at that point in time. So, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read a few verses in the chapter of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to ask all of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word. I'm going to start back and I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. I'm going to start with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Father God, we ask now the blessings upon the reading of your word. Father, let nothing that's going to be said in the next few minutes be about me or anything about myself, but let it be all about you, Lord, and for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You see, you don't need this fancy text to come in the presence of God and to communicate with Him. You know what I believe is the problem in this world today? We don't do enough communicating with God. We don't do enough communicating with the Savior. We get in a fix and we get in a pickle and we're quick to call on the name of the Lord, but we don't talk to Him enough. You understand, Jesus wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to communicate with Him on the level of being not only your Heavenly Father, but to be your friend. How many of you just have a friendly conversation with Jesus sometimes? Anybody? I do. I'm just like, Jesus, why did that happen? Jesus, what were you thinking? That's you know, you might say, well, why is the preacher questioning what Jesus did? Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus, God is big enough to handle anything that we have to bring to Him. Amen. He's big enough to handle it. And you know what? It's okay to get upset. It's okay to get angry. There's been many times where I've gone into my prayer room and I've said, God, I don't understand this. I don't believe that this was necessary. But you know what? You're God and I'm not. And I'm just going to have to accept what's going on here. And I talk to Him like I would talk to a friend. And you know what? He gives me comfort. He's not going to always agree with how I feel because He's in charge. But you know what? I'm thankful I serve a God that I can come to and talk to like a friend. You see, that's what we got to be able to do. We got to be able to communicate with Him. Now that brings me to the second point of this sermon, and that is this. When glory comes into your life and you have a true worship experience with God, the glory will help declare the reality of who you are. The glory will help declare the reality of who you are. Look at what Isaiah said here. He said, woe is me. You know, in the book of Isaiah, there are about six woes that are mentioned. You know, probably everybody's said this, and we've even used it just in passing in regular conversation. We may have said, oh, woe is me. Do you really understand what you were saying? Woe, in biblical terms, is kind of a death cry. It's a cry out in the face of death and in the midst of death. Whenever you see it in the prophetic books, especially in the book of Isaiah, it was a Hebrew death cry that you screamed out when you were in the presence of death. But you see, Isaiah said, when I got in God's presence and I saw God and saw me, all I could say was, woe. Isn't that true? When we really get in God's presence and we really look at who we are and we look at who God is, we all ought to say, whoa, right? Because there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says none of us are righteous. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's by grace that you're saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So you see, God loves us enough to show His grace toward us by sending His Son Jesus to die for us. When you finally get in the presence of God, you will have a worship experience because God will let you see you for who you are and He'll let you see Him for who He is. Amen. And when He does that, then you can begin to move in the direction that God wants you to be and wants you to go. When I saw what I should look like and I saw what I do look like, Isaiah said, woe. He said, woe is me. You see, when we look at each other like that, when we look at ourselves like that, we don't have time to look at our neighbor. We don't have time to get caught up in their business and be worried all about them. We need to be concerned about ourselves, right? We spend so much time in our daily lives worrying about what somebody else is doing. Getting in somebody else's business, tinkering around with somebody else, amen. We ought to be concerned with what we're doing. We ought to be concerned with how we're presenting ourselves to God. Don't be concerned about what somebody else is doing. The Bible says, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye until you get the plank out of your eye. Amen. But we're caught up in that, aren't we? We shouldn't have time to look at all that. You know, when I think about this, I think about when I look at what God is and I look at what I'm not, I just say, whoa. When I look at His love and I look at all the stuff that I get caught up in sometimes, I just have to say, whoa. When I look at His righteousness and I look at some of the things I've done in my life, I have to say, woe is me. I have to take a step back and say that. Guys, I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to tell you here. You cannot come into the presence of God and be arrogant, conceited, proud, or puffed up. You can't do it. What did I preach on for several weeks? You got to deny yourself first before you can ever have a relationship with Jesus. Did y'all understand what I said? You got to deny yourself before you can have a relationship with Jesus. Because if it's all about you, He's not going to get the glory. And that's what's going to be disappointing to Him is when you don't bring glory to Jesus. God needs the glory. God needs the glory. Just because you got 2 extra cents in the bank, you got a mile worth of college degrees, just because you hadn't been in trouble for weeks and months on end, it doesn't give you the right to be arrogant and prideful and boastful in the presence of God. It doesn't give us that right. You know how you're around certain people, they think they're all that and they are so much better than you. You ever been around people like that? You just want to say, well, you just want to light into them, don't you? You just want to say, you think you all that, don't you? Whew, amen. I've been around people like that before, and here's what I have to do. I don't make all those facial expressions, but I'm biting my lip just because I want to say, let me tell you something. Let me tell you who you really are. But then I got to realize, hey, when I do that, I'm doing exactly what I talked about right here, right? I'm worried about somebody else's business. I need to be worried about mine. So I want to encourage you to don't get caught up in somebody else's business. We got enough concerns and enough woes in our own lives, amen, to keep us plenty busy for the rest of our life. You know, Isaiah didn't really realize how messed up he was until he was in the presence of the glory of God, until he was actually having a worship experience. He didn't realize how messed up he was. When he saw how high God was and how low he was, it wasn't until he had a clear view of that that he really realized the condition he was in. You know, by the time Isaiah heard the angels talking to one another, he got it. He looked at himself and he said, I've got a long way to go. Don't we all have a long way to go? Aren't you glad God ain't going to leave us where he found us? If God left us where he first found us when we first came in contact and accepted Jesus as our Savior, if Jesus had said, I'm leaving you there, you're on your own, where do you think we'd be? We wouldn't be sitting in this church right now, most likely. We wouldn't be successful, most likely. We would not be living for him and moving in the direction he wanted us to go, most likely, would we? No, we wouldn't. You know, because God will put you in a place where I don't have time to be worried about you. I don't have time to judge you. God's going to have me come to a place where I see me and I'm faced with the reality of who I am. I'm not going to have time to be worried about what somebody else is doing. I won't have time to look at all your business because I got too much stuff that I need to get straight. Amen. I've got to get myself straight. Isaiah said, I was undone. I was messed up. The word undone is a very interesting word. When you translate it from biblical terms, there's really two words that you come up with, unholy and unworthy. Can I talk to you about something here for just a minute? Guys, when you come into the glory of God, one of the first reactions you should have is a reality check. When you come into the presence of Almighty God, you ought to have a reality check in your life. You know, the word unholy is not really used in this sense the way we like to use it. When we think of unholy, we think of this person who isn't saved, this undesirable person that we don't want to be around. We think of some reprobate or whatever. You know, when I see God, it reminds me that I'm incomplete. When I think of the word unholy, it says to me, I am incomplete. I am not full of the holiness that God wants me to have at all times. So you see, to be unholy doesn't mean you're some outcast. It just simply means that I'm not as complete as I need to be. I've got work to do. I'm in need of a worship experience, amen? That's what he's talking about. The word holiness means to be set apart. But it also means that when I get into the presence of God, that I see that God needs to do some more work on me just when I thought I was doing all right. God's got some more work for me. But when I get in his presence, I realize there was something incomplete in my life. How many of you out here today, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you are missing something in your life right now? I guarantee you there's some people in here right now that feel incomplete. You feel unholy. You feel like you are not where you need to be with God. And you know why? Because you're probably not. But I want you to understand how to get there. Isaiah found out how to get there in this scripture. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He knew he had a problem. But guess what? His problem was the very thing that God was going to use him for. Isn't that the way God is? He's called us to do something that may be all junked up and messed up in our lives, but he can come in and he can clean it right up, and he can then use us for what it is he wants us to do. And that's what he did with Isaiah. Every now and then we ought to say, God, I thank you because you're still working on me and my unholy self. Amen. God loves you enough to take you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. You see what I'm saying? He loves you enough to take you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. I hope nobody in here wants God to leave them alone and leave them where they're at right now, because you'll never grow in your faith from this point on if He did. We are to continue to grow each and every day. How do we grow? We get involved with God. We get into an act of worship and praise with Him. We invite Him in. We keep Him in. We don't shut the door on Him. We don't shut the door when things start going better in our lives. We don't just shut the door and say, "Okay, God, I'll call on you later. See you, bye." We don't do that. Some people do, though, don't they? They only call on God in times of need, and they wonder why they struggle throughout the rest of their life. God's not going to leave you where you were. He's going to try to keep moving you where He wants you to go, where He's trying to get you to go. The third thing is this. When you're in the glory of God, it becomes an invitation to kingdom participation. Let me share something with you right now. And this was true with Isaiah. The devil did not want him to have clean lips and speech. You know why? Because that's the very gift that God had given him, and God was wanting to use him for that gift. So you see, he had to get cleansed of that in order to be able to do what God had called him to do. Guys, I'm telling you what, God has got a calling in your life and on your life, and if you don't know what that calling is, it's because you're not opening your heart and mind up to the will of God. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. He had a plan for Isaiah, but the enemy, the devil, was trying his best to thwart that plan. So you know what? If you let him, the devil's going to get you sidetracked from where God wants you to be also. He's going to have you going down the wrong path in life. You know why? Because the enemy wants you to take your focus off him. He wants you to get distracted. He wants you to use bad language. He wants you to use your mouth for something negative and to tear down people and to belittle people. He does not want you to use your mouth for glorifying God, for building up the kingdom, for witnessing to other people. He wants to destroy who you are in Christ. And guess what? Throughout this world in which we live, He's winning. He's winning. He's winning more people to His way and His ideas than we're winning to the cross. Amen. We got to get busy, folks. We cannot continue to sit around with the same attitude we've had our whole lives and expect this world to find Jesus. We got to get up and we got to get moving. Isaiah finally realized it. He had that invitation to kingdom participation. You see, he realized, you know what, my lips are unclean. God sent an angel down. He took a hot coal off that altar and he touched it to his lips and purged him of his sin. Aren't you glad we don't have to have a hot coal shoved in our mouth to get us straight? We can go right to the Father. We can go right to Jesus and say, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for my speech. Forgive me for all the things that I've done against your will." We can go straight to him. But see, back in those days, you had to offer up a sacrifice. That sacrifice had to be used to cleanse. And that's what happened to Isaiah. It was used to cleanse him. But you see, when you get purged, it's only because you have come and confessed. Isaiah didn't get purged first. He got purged after he confessed he had a problem. You see, he was being consecrated for service in the kingdom to help God eventually restore the people from what was going to become a very serious captivity later on in the history of Israel. But he had to get purged first. Isaiah saw, "In that year, I saw the Lord." That's what he said. In what year? When King Uzziah died. "I came to the realization, you know what, God? I'm a man of unclean lips. You've called me to be a prophet." What does a prophet do? He speaks. What does a prophet need in order to speak? He needs a mouth. And in order for him to speak the words of God, he needs a clean mouth. So that's what he did. He got purged. He got forgiven of his sin. And that's what we all need to do. Isaiah was called to be a prophet. What are you called to be? I can tell you what you're not called to be. You're not called to be somebody who just sits on a pew every Sunday, walks out these doors, and never makes an impact for the kingdom. You're not called for that. You are called to be bold in your witness. You're called to be bold in who you contact and who you speak to. You're called to be bold in who you serve. That brings me to another question. Who are you serving? Are you serving God or are you serving man? Because you see, when you serve God, you're going to come into His presence and you're going to want Him to clean you up. You're going to want Him to shake your temple up, amen? I believe some of us need our temple shook up a little bit. We need our temple to get shook up a little bit and get some of this stuff out of it where we can realize, you know what, God? You do have something in store for me. I do want a worship experience. I do want to get closer to You. But I'm going to tell you what. The enemy knows that God has some stuff in you He wants to use for His glory, and he's going to be fighting you tooth and nail to try to keep you from getting that, from trying to keep you from going there. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. Am I letting God win out in my life, or am I letting the enemy win? And when I say the enemy, I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about that former big time angel up in heaven that because of his pride got kicked out down here on earth with legions of other angels along with him. You know why? Because he was prideful. The very same thing we suffer from down here on this earth, don't we? We suffer from the same thing. We're too prideful sometimes to admit we're wrong. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you can't ever admit you're wrong, then you need to examine your relationship with Jesus. Because you've got to understand that sometimes you're going to come to a point and place in your life that what you're doing is wrong. Where God wants you to be is a different direction. I talked to our youth about this morning. Where you are now is probably not where God wants you to be eventually. Now, He may move some of you in the direction you're headed now. But I can tell you this, where I am now was not where I was when I was in high school. And that's probably true with most of you. God's got a calling on your life. But you've got to have a worship experience with Him in order to understand it, in order to be a part of it. Isaiah's lips were messed up, but the Lord touched him in the place that he needed him, in his mouth. The angel touched his lips because God is going to touch the area in your life that He needs you for. He's going to touch it. And He's going to try to cleanse you of that. If you confess Him, He will cleanse you of it. If you confess to Him. But see, guys, here's the problem. We don't do enough confessing. Confession is the beginning of you being purged of your sin. You must confess. You must come and say, God, what I did was wrong. And I want you to forgive me for it, please. And guess what? He's quick and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, not just from part of it. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you any less than He loved you before you came and knelt at the altar and prayed to ask Jesus into your life. Those of you that are born again believers, God does not love you less today than He did when you were first born. Now, you may have done things in your life that are preventing Him from having fellowship and worship with you like He wants to. All you got to do is confess and repent and seek His face. I believe there's some people in this auditorium, in this congregation right now today that need to do some confessing. You got some things going on in your life. We've been talking about lukewarmness for weeks, months. If you're a born-again believer, you're not going to continue to what? Sin. You're not going to continue to sin knowing it's wrong, knowing it's wrong in God's eyes. You're not going to keep doing that. But yet some people week after week, day after day, they continue to do the same things that are displeasing to God. Well, Isaiah came to a point in his life where he said, you know what? I'm a man of unclean lips. And if I'm going to do what God's called me to do, I've got to get purged of my sin. I want to invite you in a minute up here to this altar. And I want you to come and get purged. It doesn't matter what you're coming up here for. You may need to just come up here and pray for somebody else. But I can tell you this, we all need to be purged of something, don't we? There's nobody sitting here today that can say, oh, I'm perfect right now. I don't need any purging. I don't need any forgiveness of any sin. Yeah, you do. You need to be forgiven for one thing right there, and that's pride. So see, you've got something you can be forgiven for. The question is, are you going to ask God to forgive you of it? Are you going to repent and move on? Are you going to really have a worship experience? Because God needs us, folks. What does the Bible say? The fields are ripe, but the workers are few. We got, what, over 6 billion people on this earth? Just a fraction of them claim to be born-again believers. We're in the minority. We're against the devil and all his troops. The question is, are we going to rise up and try to lead as many of those people to come to know him? Or are we going to just sit back and say, whew, this is too much work for me. I'm just going to have to let the preacher handle it. I'm going to have to let the deacons handle it. I have to let the missionaries handle it. Guys, we're all called to service. Amen. We're all called to serve. The question is, are you willing to serve? Are you willing to get purged of the sins that are keeping you from having a worship experience? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. God, I thank you for Isaiah, who realized, Lord, you called him to be a prophet. And the only way he could be a prophet is if he had a clean mouth and could speak the words that you were going to give him. God, I thank you for his testimony. I thank you for the example he has set for us. And I pray that each and every person here today will realize, Lord, I need to be purged. And God, I'm praying that we'll have this altar fill up today. I'm praying that we'll have people praying not only for themselves, but maybe for others who need your help, who need your touch, who need your healing. And God, as always, we're going to give you the praise and glory for everything, Lord, that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Becky's going to sing our hymn of invitation. Will you come today?
Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You Savior leads me.
Service, and we'll move into our church council. I just want to invite all of our church members to hang around for that, please, Brother Burke.